The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, ECOWAS reconvenes in Accra this week to thrash out sub-regional security issues. NPP to hold special delegates congress to prune down number of official flag-bearer aspirants. NDC youths in other region want a clause of party's election guidelines expunged. Ticket sales scandal hits FIFA World Cup tournament in Brazil. And meanwhile, host Brazil play Germany in first semi-final match today. The news in detail.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
ECOWAS Chair President John Mahama is to host ECOWAS heads of state in Accra on the 10th and 11th of this month to deliberate on issues affecting the sub-region. The meeting, the second in 2 months, is expected to assess the Nigerian government's handling of Boko Haram and the overall security situation in certain trouble spots in the sub-region. It will also seek to chart the way forward in addressing issues of common interests. Ben Dochemalo is the President's Communication Director.
The 45th ordinary session, which happens to be in the middle of the year, so that the leaders will review what activities and projects they have been dealing with over the first half of this year. So you can say it's an assessment of what has been done this year, what remains to be done, and what other topical issues they need to look at.
We know the Boko Haram situation constituted the major issue during your first meeting in Accra. And then there was a blueprint aimed at ensuring that the 200 girls abducted were rescued. How far have you been able to go with this blueprint?
Again, this meeting summit that is happening this Thursday and Friday will be an opportunity for the leaders to assess what has been done by their Nigerian colleague, President Goodluck Ebene Jonathan and his government regarding this issue that President Mahama has shown concern about, expressed solidarity and offered support to our brothers and sisters in Nigeria should that support be needed. So that is one of the issues. But the summit is not just about Boko Haram. Yes, the overall security situation in the West African sub-region is expected to be one of the key subjects. The situation in northern Mali, where Tuareg rebels had taken up arms and some instability emerged again after the promising election that brought Mr. Ibrahim Boubacar Keita to power, those things are also going to be reviewed. One other key thing, which is a positive story in terms of ECOWAS support for better governance in the region, is the support that has been given to our brothers and sisters in Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau, you would recall, has gone through a cycle of instability, but now with the support of ECOWAS and the international community, they've heard successful, credible elections. The newly elected president has been sworn in, President Mahama, in his capacity as chairman of the ECOWAS Authority of Heads of Government and Heads of State did travel to Bissau before the elections to lend support, to lend credence, to make sure that things proceed well.
We've been talking about the need for a common currency so that we can facilitate trade within the sub-region. And at times when such meetings are called, people usually don't take ECOWAS serious. What are you going to do aside the security issues? Lack of common currency, lack of a well-coordinated economic front to address issues.
The fact that we have this framework, if we didn't have ECOWAS as West Africans, I'm sure we would be trying to create such a sub-regional body. We should not forget the role that ECOWAS has played, let's say, in ending and addressing conflict in our neighboring countries like Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Communications Director of ECOWAS Chair, Ben Dochemalo.
The University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, says government should be prepared to pay the book and research allowances of its members for 2 academic years if it delays in the payment for the 2013-2014 academic year till September 2014. According to UTAG, it disagrees with the recent press statement made by Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Lukujetua-Blakwa, that the payment of the book and research allowances for the 2013-2014 academic year is not delayed and that they will be paid in September this year. In a statement signed by its national president, Samuel Ufori-Bekwe, UTAC said the allowances are usually paid at the beginning of every academic year, which is in August or September. However, for reasons best known to government, the allowances have in the past few years been delayed and paid at the end of the academic year, which is in June or July. It says although UTAC has so far managed to contain the mounting pressure on various campuses, it may no longer be in a position to prevent the situation from escalating anytime soon if government does not move away from its current lack of urgency and slow pace towards resolving the problem.
The NPP is to hold a special delegates congress to trim down the number of presidential aspirants to 5. This is according to the party's rules of engagement. Yesterday, 5 flag-bearer aspirants filed their nominations, bringing the total number to 7. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the general secretary of the party, Kwabena Ejepong, said the completed forms will be handed over to the vetting committee for scrutiny, after which the committee will come out with a report on who is eligible to contest the flag-bearership.
Well, at the close of nominations at 5 p.m. 7th of July, 7 aspirants have picked up nomination form, preparing themselves to contest for the presidential primary of the NPC. So the next step is to hand over the fully completed nomination forms to the vetting committee. The vetting committee will take a little bit of time to go through all these documents, and then they will also invite them for interviews. And then at the end of the day, they come out with their report. Only after the vetting committee has approved each and every aspirant that has been our secretary, I can give a letter under my hand for them to be officially declared as aspiring candidates for a flag bearership conference. So a very important signpost has been cleared.
You, I don't know what else to say, warn the presidential hopefuls that if their supporters continue to throw invectives on one another, you will hold them responsible. How are you going to hold them responsible?
The national executive has the power of sanction to impose a fine, a suspension, and in fact even disqualification of a candidate. We are going to hold the aspirants this time responsible for the conduct of their agents, their spokespersons, and other people purporting to work for them. We will not hesitate at all to bring the full force of sanction on any party member who we believe is found misconducting himself against the regulations that we have outlined.
NPP General Secretary Kwabena Ejepong.
Meanwhile, the 2012 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has assured Ghanaians that when voted into power in 2016, he will put in place a competent government to advance the economic fortunes of the country. He said the party has competent members, both home and abroad, to reverse the downward trend of the economy. Nana Akufo-Addo said this when he filed his nomination to contest the position of flag bearer for the NPP for the third time. Joyce Jechi reports.
The party headquarters of the NPP at Asalam Dam was heavily filled with supporters of Nana Akufo-Addo. It was so chaotic that people were bumping into each other. Nana's appearance even made it worse, with the police finding it difficult to control the crowd, some of whom were brought in back. The heat in the conference room was so unbearable with a big crowd that journalists had difficulty getting the audible voice of Nana Akufo-Addo. After filing his nomination, he had a message for Ghanaians.
And there are lots of people in the Ghanaian diaspora and here who put together under purposeful leadership can give this country the government that it truly deserves. And in fact, the downward spiral, the downward trend of our nation affairs that we're witnessing under John Mahama.
The General Secretary of the NPP, Kwabena Ejepong, who received the nomination form of Nana Akufo-Addo, said that flag bearers will be held responsible for conduct of supporters and spokespersons.
Now we are hoping for a very clean and friendly, non-acrimonious primary. Our political party believes in healthy competition. We will hold any presidential aspirant responsible for the conduct of their spokesperson, their agents, and their eyesight if they are seen to have breached the guidelines of our constitution. We hope that we can all go through this and give Ghanaians the hope that they need. that we can show to the people of Ghana that we are in fact a government in waiting.
The report was filed by Joyce Jechi.
Three other presidential hopefuls of the NPP have filed their nominations to contest the flag bearership position. They are the MP for Sojamain Kofi Oseyameyao, Second Deputy Speaker of Parliament Joe Gati, and the former Minister of Information Stephen Asamoah Boateng. Speaking to newsmen after filing their nomination forms, the flag bearer aspirants called on party supporters to unite so as to wrest power from the NDC. They said a divided front can never achieve anything good.
The fanfare that greeted Danado when he arrived at the party headquarters was missing when the three others arrived. First to arrive after Danado left was the MP for Sojaman, Kofi Oseyameyao. He said the journey so far has not been smooth. He said together they can win power. Mr. Oseyameyao therefore called on the five other flag bearer aspirants to advise their followers to stop the internal wrangling and campaign on issues.
I know the road has not been smooth along the way to today. There have been bumps, impediments, obstacles, but together as a party we shall overcome. For me, my preoccupation is power in 2016. Now, in order for us to get power, we must unite. But I can assure everyone here that I, Kofi Oseyameyao, I dedicate myself towards unity, towards the end goal of power.
For his part, the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Joe Gati, said he will abide by the rules governing the conduct of the elections. He said as they go into the contest, supporters should be mindful of the fact that whatever they do now will harm them in future.
I have made my position clear that nobody should form any group, friends of Joe Gati, any group. We are all friends of NPP. If you form a group, friends of Joe Gati, it means I must have enemies. I didn't come into this business to get enemies. I also believe that this is a family discussion. It's not a discussion for the media. So make sure that me, neither me nor anybody who says to support me, will do anything to bring this party to the city.
Mr. Asamoah Boateng said, the country is lagging behind in so many areas. He said without unity and discipline, much cannot be achieved. He called on party supporters to bury all differences and come on board to win power from the NDC.
My quest to serve this party is to make sure that this party honors the obligation that Ghanaians have placed on us. I believe that Ghana must go back and do some on what we've done wrong and what we need to do right.
The stage is now set for the party to go to Congress to elect one candidate to lead the party in the 2016 general elections.
Antoinette Abba filed that report.
And now to the NDC, where Northern Regional Youth Group of the party in Tamale has called on the national executives to withdraw a clause in the party's guidelines for election of regional party officers. The spokesperson of the group, Mahama Suhunun, in an interview said the clause which stipulates that in addition, a member of the party shall not qualify to vie for regional executive position unless the member has prior to seeking election held an executive position in the constituency is disturbing and unfortunate. He expressed disappointment about reasons given by the party's general secretary, Siedun Ketia. Mr. Suhunun therefore called on the National Executive Committee of the NDC to immediately withdraw Clause 6 found in Item 6 of the Guidelines for Election of Regional Party Officers for peace to prevail in the party.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. ECOWAS reconvenes in Accra this week to thrash out sub-regional security issues. NPP to hold Special Delegates Congress to prune down number of official flag-bearer aspirants. NDC youths in Northern Region want a clause of party's election guidelines expunged. Ticket sales scandal hits FIFA World Cup tournament in Brazil. Meanwhile, host Brazil play Germany in first semi-final match today. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. The recent increase in cement prices has been attributed to the shortage of the commodity on the market. Radio Ghana's visit to some distribution and retail outlets show that the few cement in stock have been booked by retailers. Individuals in need of cement are compelled to do so at a relatively high price. Baba Arthur has more.
Currently, prices of cement ranges from 30 to 35 cedis instead of the 25 cedis it used to be. Officials of some depots in Accra have attributed the situation to the depreciation of the cedi and other challenges faced by the producers.
The dollar rate has gone high, and then the factories, they are having problems at their hand with the gas, and they are having problems with their machines, and then the production is not going on well. And then we have the Togo diamond. With the Togo, they are short of clinker, the stone which are used to make the cement. So that's why there is shortage and other stuff. The problem becomes the factories. They give each and every company two cars to satisfy all the customers. They only got about one car today. What we have is what we sell.
A contractor, Emmanuel Asari, who Radio Ghana met whilst purchasing bags of cement, confirmed that the prices have been increased. He expressed worry over the increment, adding that some people are taking advantage of the situation to sell at exorbitant prices.
The increment is not a national increment. From the look of the data, I see. But people are having theirs higher and some are having theirs lower. So it's a personal increment. They are taking advantage of it and they are adding whatever they want to gain on it. It's a bit upset because if you have a regulatory institution that regulates the price, it shouldn't be there and people will just be increasing stuff just like that. And at the end of it, really, the contractors and we're going to bear the cost.
The report was filed by Deborah Arthur.
Women's rights organizations working in the oil and gas sector have raised concerns over the lack of gender parity in the sector. They argued that the petroleum laws do not mention women specifically as a criterion in the selection of board members, and where the law provides, it fails to give equal representation of the two sexes. The women's rights groups therefore called for the inclusion of more women in the prudent management of the oil and gas sector. These sentiments were raised at the launch of two books published by the organization after conducting an extensive research on the involvement of women in the oil and gas sector.
Basic school teachers have welcomed the use of both English and the local languages as the medium of instruction in early stages of education. The issue of language policy in education has been a controversial one, with various governments changing the policy from time to time. While experts believe the use of local language as a medium of instruction in the early stages helps the children to acquire the skills in literacy and numeracy faster, others have contrary views. New studies, however, show that a combination of both local and English has greater dividends. In view of this, the Ministry of Education has launched a manual to guide teachers in lower primary. Edward Sanyo is the program manager of Village Communications, partners of the Education Ministry in the promotion of the concept.
From kindergarten, the proportion is 80% Ghanaian language and 20% English. As they move ahead in the classes, the proportion changes until they get to P3, where at that time it's 50-50. And then it reduces gradually till they're able to teach them 100% in English.
Has there been any study to show that if the children are taught this integrated use of language, if that is using the English and the local language, if they are taught in both languages, is there any study to show that it has any impact on the people?
Yes, a lot of studies have been done in this regard, and that is why this program was implemented, because the study showed that that was the best way to get children to learn, because most children, they speak Ghanaian languages at home, and everything they learn in their home, it helps them to be more literate. Now, if they come to school and all of a sudden they start being taught in English, most of them don't understand English anyway. So what happens is, in order for them to benefit from what they know at home and what their parents teach them, we have to transition them from what they know to what they're about to learn.
Edward Zanyo is the program manager of Village Communications.
A recent survey report by the Narcotics Control Board has revealed that 70% of the youth in junior and senior high schools in the Ashanti region are involved in drug abuse. The Ashanti Regional Minister, Dr. Samuel Sapong, who disclosed this at a public forum in Kumasi, said the situation makes the future of the country bleak. He said the youth who aspire to become responsible adults in future must not only shun drugs, but also the company of people they suspect or know to be involved in drug trafficking or abuse. We bring you more.
The regional minister stressed that in the era when government is burdened with increasing wage bill, it has become important for young persons to develop and nurture their own businesses. It is therefore imperative for students to prepare themselves to go into self-employment for their own economic well-being after school. Dr. Sapong, however, observed with concern that instead of the youth taking their time to learn the rudiments of good behavior, ethics, and good conduct, they rather rush to acquire wealth and fame. Dr. Sapong advised the youth to learn from time-tested African values, which have formed the basis of preparing people for leadership roles. They must also use ICT, particularly the various social media platforms, positively, and stay away from its negative aspects that can lead them astray.
Now the news desk report.
Now Australia's High Court is to hear an application to prevent the government from returning asylum seekers intercepted at sea to Sri Lanka. The application concerns 153 people believed to have been located as they sailed to Australia. The government has not confirmed their whereabouts. The court issued an interim order blocking their return. The order came as Australia confirmed it had transferred 41 asylum seekers to Sri Lankan Navy personnel at sea. The government said all those transferred underwent a screening process at sea. The move has, however, attracted strong criticism from human rights representatives and the UN.
Now to some stories on football. Brazilian police have arrested the chief executive of the FIFA partner company as part of investigations into the illegal sale of World Cup tickets. Ray Whelan from Match Hospitality was held at Rio de Janeiro's hotel, where officials from the world's football governing body were also staying. Last week, police held 11 people and broke up an international gang. They are accused of illegally reselling tickets, including some originally allocated to players. Police say the gang earned as much as $90 million per tournament.
Meanwhile, Brazil coach Luis Felipe Scolari says a side will cope without injured striker Neymar when they face Germany in their World Cup semi-final today. The 22-year-old has scored 4 of Brazil's 8 goals at the tournament, but will play no further part after he suffered a fractured vertebra in the 2-1 quarter-final win over Colombia. Scolari said his squad are focused on the task at hand. Neymar injured his back following a challenge by Colombia's Juan Zuniga. Brazil will also be without their suspended captain Thiago Silva, who is suspended for a yellow card accumulation. However, Germany coach Joachim Löw has reiterated that the Brazilians are equally robust and has called on Mexican official Marco Antonio Rodriguez to take a tough line in the match, which comes off in Belo Horizonte.
Real Madrid legend Alfredo Di Stefano, regarded as one of the greatest players of all time, has died. The 88-year-old suffered a heart attack on Saturday and had been in an induced coma in Madrid's Gregorio Maranon Hospital. Real Madrid confirmed the news, saying Di Stefano, their honorary president, died at 5:15 p.m. local time. Di Stefano won 5 straight European Cups, scoring in each final between 1956 and 1960.
And Nigeria is likely to face a ban from all football activities due to the government's interference in the administration of football in the country, contrary to FIFA rules. The Nigerian Football Federation, NNF, was on Saturday voted out of office after having been accused of derailing the country's World Cup campaign in Brazil. The NFF was earlier dissolved by government and replaced by a sole administrator, a move the government said is essential. The situation was compounded 24 hours later when the NFF boss, Mike Gary, was arrested upon his return from the World Cup, though he was later released, but legal proceedings against the country's football authority proceed. However, FIFA directed the authorities to reinstate the old executive or face a ban, but the federation went ahead with an extraordinary assembly to confirm the dissolution of the executive committee. FIFA says it does not recognize the decision taken by the assembly and gave the authorities up to today to reinstate the sacked executive. According to FIFA, it will only accept decisions taken at Congress scheduled for next month.
Now to end the news, the main points again. ECOWAS will reconvene in Accra this week to discuss regional security issues. The meeting, which is the second in 2 months, is expected to assess the Nigerian government's handling of Boko Haram and the overall security situation in some parts of the sub-region. Another regional youth group of the NDC is calling on the national executives to withdraw a clause in the party's guidelines for election of regional party officers. The spokesperson for the group, Mahama Suhunun, believes the clause, which stipulates that, in addition, a member of the party shall not qualify to vie for regional executive position unless the member has, prior to seeking election, held an executive position in the constituency, is unfortunate. And the FIFA partner company's chief executive has been arrested for illegally selling World Cup tickets. Ray Whelan from Match Hospitality is being held at Rio de Janeiro's hotel, where officials of the world's football governing body are also staying. Brazilian police have also arrested 11 people and broke up an international gang for illegally reselling tickets, including some originally allocated to players. Police say the gang earned as much as $90 million per tournament. The news was presented by Samuel Essa.
And Unampo Finakra.